From the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 9, verse 14 through 17. Then the disciples of John came to Jesus, saying, "Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "The wedding guest cannot mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them, can they? The days will come when the bridegroom is taken away from them, and then they will fast. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old cloak, for the patch pulls away from the cloak, and a worse tear is made. Neither is new wine put into old wineskins. Otherwise the skins burst, and the wine is spilled, and the skins are destroyed. But new wine is put into fresh wineskins, and so both are preserved." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Yesterday morning, I left my house about 5 a.m., headed to Oxford, and I was invited to share in the Chucky Mullins Courage Award presentation extended by the Ole Miss Rebel football team. I was asked to share in the invocation and give a little bit of reflection on the life of my friend who impacted so many. Some of you are familiar with his story. A young man that, as a 20-year-old, went out on the football field for the first time against the Vanderbilt Commodores, not knowing it would be the last time that he ever walked in his life. After the game, he was paralyzed by making a career-ending and life-altering tackle against another defender. But in the spirit and response to that tragedy, many say that Chucky Mullins taught more about living in the 18 months after his tragedy than many did in a lifetime. Near the end of his life, Chucky was asked, "How is it that you've lived with such courage?" And they've named that award in his honor by calling it the Courage Award. "How have you lived with such positivity? How have you kept a smile on your face when the world has frowned upon you so often?" And to that question, my friend and teammate said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You know, it's one thing for us to say those words of Scripture, isn't it? But when you are a person like Chucky Mullins who have literally lived those words, oh, it takes on a whole new meaning. That I can do all things. When I have no strength to even move my body, Christ is strength in me and through me to reflect even his love and glory in my paralyzed state. Wow. That's what it means to have life from on high. But you know, as I reflected yesterday about the end of Chucky Mullins' life, I said, what I'm convinced after writing the book and doing the research on his life, what I'm convinced of more than anything else, his secret was that it began as a young child when he claimed the faith that was gifted to him from on high. You see, as he lay in that hospital the night of the injury, and as our trainer Leroy Mullins sat with Chucky at his bedside and said, "Chucky, I'm about to leave you." And Chucky said this, "I'm afraid to go to sleep because I might not wake up." Leroy asked, he said, "Chucky, do you believe there's something else after this life?" He affirmed and said, "Yes, I'm a Christian. And I believe if I don't wake up, I'll be in heaven." And Leroy said, "Well, get some rest, my son, because you're in God's hands, whether you live or whether you die." You see, the seed of faith that had been planted in him as a young child nurtured him and sustained him throughout his life. And when tragedy, most of all, was thrust upon him, he still had life from on high. During this holy season of Easter, as we celebrate today Palm Sunday and the entrance of our Lord into Jerusalem, it's a reminder to us more than anything else that we too have that gift of life from Jesus Christ. We too are like the people of Israel, who once were seen as God's only chosen people through a gift of God's grace when Jesus Christ came into the world. The doors of the kingdom were thrown open to even lowly Presbyterians like us. Hallelujah, right? God's grace is for all. For any who would cherish and cry out to Jesus Christ because he came in glory, we can live. And even in the spirit of Chucky Mullins, no matter what tomorrow brings, we can face it with courage and faith and life. You see, I'm convinced as we read the scripture this morning where Jesus uses this analogy about the new wine, that is a reminder to us that the kingdom was made new through him. You see, there was a change. The old ways of having faith before God, the old way of being justified and being right with God, it was practiced through sacramental order. It was practiced by sacrificing your lamb and sheep and your body and fasting. There was this whole list of the law that a person of the Jewish faith had to embrace to be right before their holy God. And when Jesus came, he said, "I'm turning that upside down," or perhaps right side up. "And I'm offering you access to the throne of God, not by what you do, but because of what I'm going to do for you and in you." That's the gift, friends, of salvation. The gift that Jesus is talking about with the new wine, the new life that is found in the wine of his blood that was shed on Calvary. You know, oftentimes we as people in life and busyness and career, we're not quick to embrace change. Even as young people, we know and we resist change when something new comes our way. As older people, we get inclined to make this statement, "We've never done it that way." Or, "This is the way we've always done it." But even as young people, I remember the story of a young child that was in kindergarten. And prior to going into kindergarten, he was in a preschool program where he only went to lunch every day. Now that was manageable, you know, just a few hours. His Nana would pick him up right at lunch. She would take him home and get him something to eat. Then he'd take him a little nap if he felt like it. Or he'd go outside and play cowboys and Indians. It was up to him. The afternoon was his. Well, he got into the kindergarten. There wasn't a lot of explaining of the new protocol of how things were going to go. In fact, he went his first day and his teacher, Miss Susie, gave the lecture, and it got about lunchtime and she said, "Okay, kids, let's line up. We're going to the cafeteria to eat." Little Johnny said, "Oh no, I don't go to eat with y'all. My Nana picks me up. I go eat with her." Miss Susie explained what little Johnny had not been made aware of, that no, things had changed. From now on, his Nana wouldn't be picking him up for school. He would eat with his classmates and with his teacher, and he would take a nap, and he would stay there all day. Well, little Johnny's lips started quivering and shaking a little bit, but he made it through. And he got his nap, and he made it the whole day. And at the end of the day, he was preparing to leave, and his teacher, Miss Susie, knew Johnny'd been upset about the new process of his education. And she said, "Well, Johnny, how did it go?" He said, "Well, it was okay. It was better than I thought." And she finally said, "Well, do you have any questions about what we're doing or why we do it or anything like that?" He said, "Yeah, I just have one question. Who signed me up for this anyway?" Johnny was not prone to change. We can relate to that, can't we? We can relate to the hesitancy of doing something new. But friends, hear this with me. Will you receive it? That is the beauty of life in Jesus Christ. When He calls us to something new, it's not a burden upon it. It's not an adversity that we have to face. New life in Christ, we embrace with these words of Scripture where Jesus said in Matthew 11, "My burden is easy. My yoke is life. In me there is life." There are the keys to the kingdom. In other words, Jesus is saying to these disciples of John today in our scripture, just as He said last week to the Pharisees who questioned Him for dining with the tax collectors, that no more is it the rituals of our faith. No more is it what we do that give us access to our holy God. But from now on, all things are new. Because I live. Because I will die, you may live forever in the glory of God. That's the gift from on high for us as children of God. But you know, friends, as we approach Easter, as we journey this week through Holy Week and come upon Good Friday, the tragedy of the cross, we must not forget how it is that this gift was given to us. You see, the price for our sin, the perishability of our life, was not just magically overcome. No, God, as He always does, is holy. The holy order of life is that the consequences of death had to be conquered, not just overlooked, not just forgotten. They had to be overcome. And Jesus gave life so that our lives may be restored. Let me say it this way. You know, I shared earlier the stories of the Chucky Mullins Courage Award presentation and how he was a person that exemplified courage in a mighty way. I heard the quote of another football player once named Rocky Blyer. Some of you older fans like myself will remember Rocky Blyer, a great running back for the Pittsburgh Steelers, an overachiever. He never had his name in the spotlight like Franco Harris or Terry Bradshaw or even Mean Joe Green, right? But Rocky Blyer was a relentless, tough, hard competitor. And once he defined toughness in this way, and I think this morning we could replace that word toughness with courage. He said, "Toughness or courage is this: doing the things you don't want to do with the same passion as the things you do want to do." That is toughness. That is courage. Friends, hear this with me. Jesus Christ gave life for us by doing what he didn't want to do. By entering Jerusalem to the sound of the feast and the celebration, Jesus also knew as he traveled down that street to the cheers of Hosanna and palm branches over his head that just a few days later, the feast would indeed become a fast. But when he journeyed into Jerusalem, there was no turning around. He embraced the courage of our faith in a way far greater than any human ever has. By dying with the same passion that he had exuded in living. He embodied and embraced the shame of the cross, that we may know the glory of heaven and love forever. Amen. Let's respond in faith now by sharing in this time of invitation. And as I invited you earlier during our hymn of response, if you are a family or an individual during this holy season would like to unite with this church in ministry, then come at this time. Perhaps you want to begin your journey with Christ at the first time during this holy season and affirm your faith in Christ. This invitation is for you, but also it's for all of us. Maybe there's a burden, a challenge facing your family, are you individually that you would like to bring to this altar in prayer? Whatever and however the Holy Spirit may be inspiring you today, will you respond now as we stand together and share in our hymn of response?